listening to Disrupt Development's Storycast on Young Voices for Development in collaboration with Radboud University. In this series, we amplify the voices of young professionals who are following the Advanced Master for International Development at Radboud University.
Hi, I'm Anke Bertmans.
And I'm Catherine James.
And we are both completing our Advanced Master in International Development from Radboud University, whilst also working in the Dutch development sector.
Recently, we had an interesting lecture on online facilitation, and we were really struck by just how important online facilitation skills will be in the future of development. Especially looking back over the past year, we've had such a huge global mindset shift in how we work, namely that a lot of the jobs in our sector can easily be done from home or remotely.
Exactly. And I hear this from more experienced colleagues as well, that if you go back, say, 15 years ago, development professionals from what we would traditionally call the global north would have had a lot less direct contact with their southern colleagues. I mean, there were just too many communication barriers. But now we're working almost entirely from home, entirely online, and that has really broken down those barriers. And, you know, internet services are continuing to improve as well. And so we imagine that this means more and more direct contact between colleagues from many different parts of the world.
Yeah, which brings us to why skilled online facilitation is just so crucial for reimagining development. Because the future is digital and it's diverse, and it takes a very specific set of skills to successfully facilitate processes and decision making in this uniquely connected environment. So in this podcast, we will discuss three skills that we think are the most crucial for online facilitation in the development field.
Yes, and to those of you listening at home, please keep in mind that this is not an exhaustive list, but, you know, a good place to start.
With that said, Anke, what do you think is one of the most important skills?
Well, to me, a crucial skill that all development facilitators should have is related to intercultural communication and intercultural sensitivity. I don't know about you, Catherine, but I mean, I could write a small book about the intercultural miscommunications that I've seen and that I've experienced myself. And I think that many development professionals would agree.
Yeah, me too. I'm wondering how we can overcome these intercultural miscommunications.
Well, there's no magical solution, unfortunately. A lot of communication and culture is invisible, intangible even, and therefore really hard to get a grasp of. But a good place to start is becoming aware of cultural differences.
Right. And you can't learn how to deal with intercultural mishaps until you've learned to recognize and correctly interpret them.
Exactly. You have to understand them and you have to understand where they're coming from. That is why I believe every development facilitator should understand how a culture is constructed. And thankfully, a lot of academics have researched this topic. I'm thinking of Edward T. Hall, for example, who was an anthropologist from Columbia University. But there's also Geert Hofstede, who is a Dutch researcher. And the both of them have defined a number of cultural dimensions, which they say determine behavior and shape cross-cultural interaction. So we won't really go into detail of it all, but Hofstede has identified four crucial cultural dimensions, which are 1, power distance, 2, uncertainty avoidance, 3, masculinity versus femininity, and 4, individualism versus collectivism.
So if we take that last one as an example, would I be correct to say that for some cultures, they're intrinsically individualistic? I'm thinking like the Netherlands or the US. Mm-hmm. And others are more collectivist, like Kenya or Malawi, and they have a more tightly interwoven relationships.
In a nutshell, yes. It is all about how you identify yourself. Do you identify yourself in terms of I, or do you identify yourselves in terms of we? And if one development partner comes from a more individualistic background and the other one values collectivism much more highly, and they don't know that about each other, that could lead to intercultural miscommunication or even friction. And, you know, a facilitator should recognize this and, well, facilitate across these differences. If we look at power distance, for example, which is another cultural dimension that Hofstede has identified, we see the same risks. a facilitator has to be aware that some cultures have a stronger hierarchy than others, because it could have a serious impact on what is being discussed and decided within the context of a development partnership.
Yeah, or even on a more pragmatic level, it determines who has a seat at the table or who doesn't. Or I guess in this case of online facilitation, who gets an invite to the Skype call.
Exactly. And who unmutes their mic and speaks up, and who is expected to keep quiet.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up power, because it allows me to segue into another crucial skill for development facilitators, which is the skill to deal with the various power dynamics at play.
How would you handle different power dynamics?
I think step one is to determine who the top boss is, so to say, and to speak with them before and after meetings. What do they hope to get out of the process? You know, does their presence help in achieving this goal, or should they be removed from the room? In many cultures, the boss speaks up first, or is the only person to speak. But facilitators could decide it's better for the process if they speak last or they're not there at all.
In some contexts and cultures, that can be a very difficult and sensitive conversation to have.
Yeah, it can be. And this is where intercultural awareness once again plays a big role.
Okay. And what else can facilitators do to deal with power dynamics?
I think they should make ground rules at the very beginning of the process, making everything explicit, even if it seems silly. And once you've done that, to make sure that you really enforce those rules with your own behavior. You know, you let your behavior set the norm. As an example, facilitators can opt to invite a woman to speak up first. And actually, research has shown that this will lead to more women speaking up during the remainder of the meeting if you do so.
That is such a small but powerful move, and I'm immediately wondering if a similar result can occur when a facilitator invites others to speak up first as well, you know, so other people who would have been traditionally marginalized from the big conversations, such as people with a disability or people of color.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, it couldn't hurt to try, right? The important thing, I think, as a facilitator, is that you are a norm setter within the process, and that you shouldn't underestimate the role that you play.
Yeah, but at the same time, facilitators shouldn't overestimate the role as well, which brings us to our third crucial skill for development facilitators, which is being able to put yourself second.
So true. I think a very common pitfall for facilitators is to think that they are the most important person in the room by far.
Yeah, a good facilitator is able to check themselves at the door, so to say, in order to facilitate a meeting for others. Like, for example, a facilitator will always come to a meeting with their own ideas and biases already formed. Mm-hmm. But a good facilitator can momentarily put those aside in order to facilitate a process and decision that is best for their group, even at the expense of their own opinions.
Okay. So when I'm listening to you, I sense that you're introducing this concept of listening without judgment. And I think that is a far more difficult skill than most people realize, especially when you are in a partnership with people from all sorts of backgrounds, with all sorts of perspectives that are different from your own.
Yeah, definitely. And it goes way beyond just non-judgmental listening skills. Great facilitators also need what's called generative listening, which is a term that was coined by Dr. Otto Scharmer in the mid-2000s.
Okay, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's a new concept to me as well. But generative listening basically means that you go beyond empathy to a point where you are completely open to change and to new ideas without your personality getting in the way. It's really difficult because it means you have to completely let go of your ego. And Dr. Scharmer sums it up by saying, quote, "Great listeners don't see you only in terms of your past, but they see you in terms of your highest future possibility."
Okay, that's a great quote. If you want your program or organization to reach its fullest potential, you need a facilitator that is able to connect not only with the individual, but also with the ideas and the concepts that they bring to the table without letting pre-existing judgments or even interests weigh them down.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we've covered quite a bit by now.
We have, haven't we? We have discussed the three skills which we find crucial for development facilitators as we move into a new, very exciting online era of partnerships.
Yeah. And just to recap, we've talked about intercultural communication skills, the ability to deal with power dynamics and to lay down ground rules. And we've also talked about the skill of putting yourself second and committing to generative listening.
Thanks, Catherine. This conversation has made me really excited to go out there and put this knowledge to use. I don't know about you, but when I'm facilitating, the most important thing to me by far is that everyone feels comfortable, seen, and heard. And these three skills definitely play a big part there.
Yeah, I mean, the concept of generative listening is really interesting, and I'm excited to try and practice it in my own work.
And to the people listening, I think I speak on behalf of both of us when I say that we're very interested to hear what you think are some of the most important skills a facilitator should have. So don't be shy and reach out to us on LinkedIn.
For sure. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you to Disrupt Development for the opportunity to create this podcast. And we hope that you can find ways to utilize these online facilitation skills in your own organization, too.
Do you also have a story to share, or are you interested in more content from Disrupt Development? Subscribe to our podcast and visit disruptdevelopment.org.